Today's lesson, this is the 14th of January, 2024. And today's lesson is lesson number 10 in this series, Responding to God's Faithful Intervention. And the lesson today is entitled, Revival and Religion. Revival and Religion. You know that there's a difference between those two things, right? There's a difference between the two. True revival comes from a truly grateful heart. And revival is aimed at you and me as God's dear children. You can't revive something that's dead, okay? You can't do that. But you know what? God's church needs reviving today. God's church needs reviving. And God's church is you and me. God's church is you and me. And I just want to thank Him for the opportunity that we have to be able to serve Him today. We're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. And in the lesson today, our theme verse is found in Zechariah chapter number 7, verses 9 and 10. This is what the Bible said. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Boy, that would be true revival, would it not? That would be true revival. I want us to understand something very important this morning. It is not our service unto the Lord that pleases God as much as it is the attitude in which we serve Him in order to please Him. We need to have an attitude of gratitude today. And the scene of today's lesson, if you go back and you look at Zechariah chapter 1, it talks about here in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius. Now you come to chapter 7, and we're looking in the fourth year of King Darius. 2 years have gone by since they were reminded about rebuilding this temple. And you know, some of it had been accomplished. Basically, the temple was done. There was still a lot of rubble that had to be cleaned up. There was a lot of work that had to be done in this situation. But during this time, there were some questions that were coming up in the hearts and the lives of the people. They were seeing God's blessings, okay? And folks, I don't mean this badly, but be careful when you see God's blessings, because the devil is going to be there to knock those blessings down if you're not careful. He's going to be there to try to distract you and get your eyes off of God's blessings and get your eyes set back on what you're doing and all the things that we do for God. Listen, what we do is naught in comparison to what Christ did for us on Calvary. When God gave His Son, He gave His all. And I dare say that there's anybody in this room today that has given their all completely for the Lord Jesus. We're not capable of doing that. We're human beings. We fail. And we get tied up with the things of this world. And during this time, some questions arose as to whether they still needed to fast and to pray as they've been doing each year when they had been experiencing so much heartache and so many trials and tribulations and the persecutions from the nations around them. And they had begun to pray. Now, they had not been commanded to do this. They had chosen to do this. They had chosen to fast and to pray. But now that God was blessing, now that the temple was rebuilt, now that there were other things happening around them that were looking good, they said, well, now, do we still need to be doing this or not? And folks, it shouldn't be that way. These people, they were wondering whether they needed to perform a good deed in order to get God's blessings or not. It's not because of our deeds that we get God's blessings. And this spiritual sacrificing, this spiritual prayer time that they were spending alone with the Lord had gotten to be just a mechanical, outward performance. And I've seen this happen in a lot of people's lives. Man, they boast and brag about what they do. You know, man, I fasted this week and I prayed this week. I've read 20 chapters in my Bible in 3 hours this week. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Don't get me wrong with any of that. There's nothing wrong with doing any of those things. But when it becomes a deed that we do just to brag about or to say we've done this for God, God should be pleased with us, it's not the right attitude. And the people's attitudes were not right with God. Their hearts needed to be revived. What they were doing, they ought to be doing because they wanted time alone with God. I like to be able to spend time alone with the Lord. You know, there are times that I can't just be alone. It seems like I can't be alone from anybody. I go home and the dog wants to go out. She wants to sit on my lap. She wants a bone. She wants to, you know, watch her favorite TV program or something, yeah. I went home the other day and we were still playing Christmas carols. And I changed it and it's just playing beautiful hymns. It's just instrumental hymn music. And it's got scenes of the outdoor life and snowy scenes and little foxes running through the meadows and deer and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there, I'm just going to take a little nap, just a moment. She's sitting on my lap and all those animals start going across the screen. And guess what my little mighty protector does, okay? This big. My mighty protector jumps off my lap and is up there barking at the TV and clawing, trying to protect her daddy from all those wild animals coming in the living room, okay? There's no rest. There's no peace. But you know what? Just to have a time that you can spend with the Lord and just find a place that you can get alone with Him and just talk with Him. Just spend some time with Him. Why? Because you love Him. Not because you're being forced to do it. Not just because you're being made to do something. You know, when you sit down and you read your Bible, and it's a good goal. Now, don't get me wrong. And several of you have turned in cards, and we're trying to get those certificates made up for you. You've turned in your card where you've read your Bible through for the year, and that's great. But listen to me. If you don't get your whole Bible read through in a year, but what you read, you get something out of it, and you are growing for the Lord, you need to thank God for that. I'm one of those slow reader types, okay? It takes me a while to read and digest what I'm reading. And I don't fuss about that. I mean, there are times I can sit down and just look at just a couple verses, and I'm writing notes down. I guess that's just the way the Lord deals in my heart. And I want to get something from it, okay, as I'm reading the Word of God. I don't want to just get a piece of paper, hang up on the wall, and say, I did it, and I don't remember what I did, okay? I want to get something from it. I want to have something that I get from talking to the Lord and Him talking to me through His Word. And these people had gotten mechanical. They had forgotten the reason that they were doing what they were doing for the Lord. And they had gotten down to the point that it was more important for them to be seen doing something that wasn't even necessarily God's command than it was for them to not be doing something that wasn't God's command. They wanted to be seen. And folks, we don't need to be seen today. Listen, we need to understand that true and honest revival of the soul is better than religious deeds that are just for show. You can have religious deeds, traditions of men. You know, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to embarrass them. I visited the doctor one day, and it was Ash Wednesday. And I evidently had been to the Catholic Church or something, I guess. And I go in to see him. He says, how you doing today? I said, I'm doing fine. You got something on your head up there. Yeah. Open mouth, insert foot, you know. I don't know what ashes have to do with serving the Lord, but, you know. But anyway, I can't find it in the Bible anyway. But listen, true religion, true relationship with God is more important than anything else in this world. Amen. And folks, there is a difference between revival and religion. And I want to show you some things here today. The God who is faithful gave Zechariah wisdom and strength to encourage the people of God, to point them in the right direction, and so that how they could see and understand that what they were doing, the actions that they were performing, was actually repulsive to God. It wasn't pleasing to the Lord. It was repulsive to God. God didn't want their traditions. God wanted their hearts. God wanted their willingness just to love Him and serve Him and give Him their very best. So I want you to look here at the first section of it. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. I want you to see here the concern about the fasting. And the question came up. It came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu, when they had sent unto the house of God Sharezer and Regemmelech and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? When I read this passage, another passage from the New Testament came to my mind, and it was with the Apostle Peter. And if you'll remember, over in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus was trying to show the disciples what true forgiveness is all about. People offend people. People offend. Brothers offend brothers. Sisters offend sisters. They get all messed up, and then they fuss with one another, and then they don't fellowship with one another. And Jesus gave them a pattern. Go to them one-on-one. And then if that doesn't work, take a brother with you and go. And the whole thing that you're seeking there is restoration between the two. It's not to tell them, this is what I'm doing. Boy, I'm more spiritual than you or whatever. That's not it. It's restoration between the two brothers. And Jesus gave them the way to do these things. And He's telling them in Matthew chapter 18 what to do, how to do it. Well, Peter's over there. And you know Peter. He's always running his mouth. And he's always saying what everybody else is thinking. Okay? And he just stood up, and in verse number 21, the Bible said, then Peter said to him, came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother offend me and I should, forgive him? Till seven times? You know, the Jewish people knew the significance of numbers. And Peter, in his great spirituality, said, I'll do it for seven times, perfection. Man, I'll just be perfect. And Jesus kind of cut him down. He said, in the next verse, he said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, if you do the math, that's 490 times. But what Jesus was telling him, he said, you just need to forgive them as many times as it takes. Forget about counting. Forget about what you're gaining out of this. You just need to do what's right. And you need to do it from your heart. And then Jesus summed it all up down in verse 35 by telling Peter, he said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Jesus had told them what would happen, how the lack of fellowship. He told the story about that one that was owed a debt to the king, and the king forgave him his debt. And he owed a great debt, and the king forgave him. And then this guy goes and finds another guy under him that owes just a little bit of debt and has him thrown in prison. And then the king comes back and gets the first guy and says, man, you wicked servant, I forgave you of the little bit that you owed. of everything that you owed. I forgave you of all that. And you wouldn't forgive this man for the little bit that he's got against you? And he put him in the prison and sent him to the torturers. And folks, all that they were doing for the praise of man. And it shouldn't be that way. They weren't doing it to please God. Paul summed it all up like this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, he told the carnal Corinthian church, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. Charity is more than love. It's the characteristics of God. It's the very character of God. His essence of love. He said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, a noise. That's basically what he's saying, a clanging noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know what? The attitude in what we do things is what matters to God. And folks, the right kind of attitude is what will bring revival in our hearts today. Man, if I want revival, you know the one I've got to get right with? It's not my brother. First of all, it's me. I got to get me right with God. And then I can get right with my brother. And then we together can serve the Lord as servants of God. And this was the whole question. Do we need to go back and keep on praying to God? Do we need to take this time separated from everything? And basically what they were saying was, now that the temple work is complete and most of the rubble's been removed, Lord, do we still need to lay aside our pleasures and our wants and our desires just to spend time with you in prayer? Boy, that was a sad question, wasn't it? Sad that they would ask it. It had become a religious ritual instead of becoming a time that's arranged to spend with God. And folks, if you and I are not careful, we will fall into that same mode. We will get so busy doing things that we don't take time to spend with the one who has enabled us to do the things we do for him. We got to be careful about it. The date, again, it's 2 years have gone by since Zechariah chapter 1. And the question is, can we just stop doing what we're doing because it doesn't look like we need to do this now anymore? I want you to look at the Lord's reply in verses 4 through 7. He gives them a message of rebuke. He gives them a message of rebuke. Last night, a couple of us went down to the firing range just to have a little stress reliever, you know, just to go down and shoot for a while, okay? All right? And we stopped in the little cafe. They got a cafe down there. And I got a turkey and sandwich and bacon and cheese and French fries and all that stuff. And afterwards, yeah. And I was eating that thing, and I'd already eaten half of that sandwich and a good portion of the fries. And I got to thinking about my wife was at home, and I'm thinking, you know what? Usually we would go do something like this, okay? And so I went over and I asked for a little box to put the stuff in. I thought, you know, I'll take it back home to her and give it to her. And that way she doesn't feel bad about me going out with the guys to go shoot and stuff like that. I still remembered her, okay? I thought about her. I came back home and I showed it to her. I gave it to her. And I went into the kitchen for something and came back out. And I said, honey, you going to eat that sandwich? She said, it's gone. It's gone. She and Precious eat that and the fries both. I mean, they just done it. But I did not want to be rebuked of her, okay? Coming back and thinking, well, you know, I think about things like that. You know, that's my wife. And we usually do everything together. We go out to eat, we eat. If I'm going out eating somewhere or something like that, I always call her and say, hey, you want something? I'll bring you back something or whatever. And I just wanted to do that. But the Lord gave them a message of rebuke. And he gave them this message because he loved them enough to do it. He wanted the fellowship restored again with his people. He had blessed them. He had taken care of the enemies around them. And he wanted them to see all that he had done for them. And he just wanted them to love him. And look what the Bible said here in verses 4 through 7. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, now think about it, folks, they've been doing this for 70 years in captivity. Did ye at all fast unto me? Even to me? At any time in that 70 years that you were doing all these things, was it ever unto me? Or was it just for show? Was it just to get what you wanted, to get out of the problem that you were in? You know what, folks? Many times people, many people sorrow because they get caught. They don't sorrow because they sinned. They sorrow because somebody caught them doing wrong. And now they're embarrassed. Now they're upset. Everybody's going to know. God already knew. And because God already knew, they were in exile for 70 years. Did you ever one time come back to me? Even to me, he asked. And then he asked here, he said, and when you did eat, and when you did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? In other words, he's saying, they were saying, well, it's time we got to go pray. I'll hurry up and get this done so we can get back and have supper tonight, okay? Fix a double portion. I want a double whopper tonight, okay? That's basically what he's saying here. And they weren't doing it because they loved the Lord or wanted his forgiveness. They were doing it just as a ritual, as a just something that they did. Then look what he said. Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? He looked at them and he said, man, is there just any time that you even were sorry for the sin, and you came to me and said, Lord, forgive us. We've done wrong. They had not done that. And you know what? These two fasts had not been performed to the glory of God. They had been simply done for show. These people, naturally, okay, they recognized the fact that God was judging them for their sin. They realized they had done wrong. They knew that. And they regretted the destruction of their country. They regretted the destruction of their city and all that had happened. But they actually failed to say unto God, Lord, we're sorry for sinning against you. And folks, that is where revival begins. Do you remember the difference between Saul saying he was sorry for his sin when Samuel came to him, and David telling Nathan, I'm sorry, I've sinned against God? It came from David's heart. It wasn't in Saul's heart to be sorrowful. And when you read Psalm chapter 51, David starts that chapter out by talking and saying, God, it's my fault. I've sinned against you and you alone. And Lord, I've done this wicked evil in your sight. And you know what? That is why God blessed David and God cursed Saul. Saul's kingdom was taken away from him because he never recognized anything he had done wrong. It was always the people's fault. It was always these other things. And boy, didn't we bring back the sheep and the goats and things and all this stuff to give unto a sacrifice? He said to Samuel, unto your God. It was never his God. And Samuel looked at him and said, son, to obey is better than sacrifice. And folks, that's where we need to be today. We need to go back and choose from a thankful heart to thank the Lord for his forgiveness. To thank him for being willing to still love us, even though we don't deserve it. And in Proverbs chapter 1, you begin reading about the wisdom that God wants us to have. And I'm looking outside as it's snowing outside. I can't believe that. Anyway. So that means we get to stay for the service today, okay? All right? Amen. But I look at Proverbs chapter 21 where Solomon is trying to give his children wisdom and show them how to serve the Lord. And he's telling them how that they need to seek. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. But he said this in Proverbs chapter 1. Verses 24 through 32. Listen to what he said. He said, the Lord's going to look at you if you don't listen to me. And he said, because I have called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. God said, buddy, when your troubles come, because you've rejected me, I'm going to turn my back on you. And instead of hearing what you're praying, I'm just going to laugh. I'm going to laugh at your calamity. Look what else he said. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early. In other words, they'll get up early in the morning before everybody else is up, and they'll start praying and carrying on and doing like the priests did that worship Baal and cutting themselves and carrying on. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. In other words, they wouldn't do anything I said do. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Well, you know what? God had to rebuke these people. And he had to show them that, listen, I'm not pleased at all with what you've been doing for these last 70 years. And now you're asking, should we continue to do this? No. I want it from your heart. It would be the same thing today for you and me regarding the Lord's Supper. And let me remind you, tonight we're observing the Lord's Supper. I would encourage you to be here. Man, the Lord's Supper is a special time that you can get alone with the Lord, remembering what he did for us, remembering how unworthy we are of anything that God did for us. And it's a time that we can remember the breaking of his body, the shedding of his blood. But them doing what they were doing would be the same for us today regarding the Lord's Supper. Many people think that because they come to church and just partake of the Lord's Supper, that little fruit of the vine, that little piece of unleavened bread somehow magically makes them to be spiritual. Some churches even teach that when you eat that, That's when you receive Jesus into your heart and your life. Folks, that could be the farthest thing from the truth. I always go back and I ask myself, well, what happens if somewhere where that little cabinet is and that little box of unleavened bread wrapped up in the cellophane so I keep it from getting stale, what happens if a little mouse gets in there and eats through that box and eats through that plastic and eats some of that unleavened bread? Is that mouse now going to heaven because he's accepted the body of Jesus in his body? Now, that's just me thinking, okay? That's just the way I think. That's about as ridiculous as anything. Listen, if it were the fruit of the vine and the bread that you eat that got you to heaven, there had been no reason for Jesus to even come to this earth, suffer, bleed, and die, be buried, and rise up again. There's only one way. All this is for us to remember who the great God we serve is, what he's done for us, and it serve as a reminder. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's a time for us to remember. And folks, what had happened in Zechariah's day, they had forgotten what God had done for them. And folks, could I ask you to do this thing today? If you truly want revival in your heart and your life, never forget what God's done for you. Never forget where God brought you from. I was preaching Friday night up in Dover and speaking to a group of men up there. And I was telling them about where God found me. And I keep this picture. I've shown it to you many times. But I keep this picture in my Bible to remind me of that bus route. And I was just one little boy right there in the midst of that whole crowd of kids. There were 60-some kids on that bus that Sunday. I'm the cute one right there, right there. And I never want to forget where God found me. I never want to forget that. And folks, when we forget where God found us, we're headed for trouble. Folks, God blessed this nation that he gave to us. He gave us a nation. It was founded upon the Word of God. It was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. And we have forsaken all of those things for prosperity. And then we're supposed to feel good if we go out here and we get a little rebate check or something from the government for $100 or $500 or $1,000 or whatever it is they want to give us, just so that they can come back and say, look what we've done for you, you know, because you've given us the opportunity to corrupt our nation. Folks, it shouldn't be that way. These folks had forgotten, and God rebuked them. But I want you to look at the Lord's reply. Secondly, it was not only one of rebuke, but it was one of repentance. And his call to them was to repent. Look at verses 8 through 14. The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment. Show mercy and compassions, every man to his neighbor, to his brother. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away their shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, because of all of that, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what I just read to you out of Proverbs. God said, you wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't take heed. You wouldn't fear the Lord. I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'm going to mock when your desolation comes. And for 70 years, they endured the hardships of captivity in Babylon. He said, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land desolate. Let me remind you something, folks. Rituals, traditions of men mean absolutely nothing to God. It means nothing to God. What God wants is practical righteousness in everyday living. Amen? He wants faithfulness because we love Him. Look what He said, verses 9 and 10. Execute true judgment. In other words, do what's right because it's right, not just simply because it makes you look good, feel good, or prosperous in some way. Execute true judgment. Show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. This week, I had a lady that I was speaking with down in North Carolina. And her father passed away last week. Week four last. And she had been out of work. She was the only one taking care of things for the situation. And the people she was working with showed no compassion whatsoever. And yet they claimed to be Christians. They claimed to love the Lord. And all they were concerned about was, how's it going? Are you able to get things done? Your dad's estate taken care of? Is there anything we can do to help you? The very first question they asked her was, when are you going to be back? When are you going to get this job done? When are you going to get that job done? You know, you've been out since the 21st of December. You know, we got to get this done now. There was no compassion whatsoever. And folks, I'm telling you, our world today, we're not seeing much compassion in our world today. And I'll be honest with you, that's why many church members don't go out soul winning. They don't pass out gospel tracts because they've lost their compassion for folks around them. Folks, every time I see a drunkard on the street or one of these homeless folks outside begging for bread or whatever, the first thought that goes through my mind, were it not for the grace of God, that could be me right there. And I want to be able to help them if I can and point them to Jesus. They had no mercy, no compassion. They oppressed the widows and the fatherless. They didn't want to help take care of them. They didn't want to encourage them. They didn't want to strengthen them. And He said, let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. In other words, God wanted His people to be different from the people in the nations that were surrounding them. The people in the nations surrounding them were vicious, cruel people. And they had become the same way. And I know I'm not going to get this lesson finished. I'll finish it next week. But it seems like I'm always saying that, am I not? But I want you to see these truths, folks. I want you to see here how that God is dealing with us. He was dealing with His people. He wanted them to be restored unto them. He wanted them to experience revival in their heart. And if they didn't get their hearts right with Him, there would be no revival. The only thing that would continue would be religious tradition. Religious deeds without it meaning anything to anybody, let alone to God. And God didn't want that. All God wanted was for His people to love Him and to serve Him from a grateful heart. And folks, as I close this lesson today, can I tell you something? That's exactly what God wants from us today. He wants us to love Him enough to trust Him and to obey Him and to have a grateful heart for all that He's done for us. And I want to ask you today, as you think about all that God's done for you, are you living traditionally? Are you just living religiously for God? Are you just performing deeds without it not really meaning anything to you? Or are you doing what you're doing for God because you're truly grateful for what God's done for you? It's something to think about. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you tonight, today, whenever. Lord, I just want to tell you I love you. And I thank you, dear God, for loving me. And Lord, for doing for me what no one else could ever do. And I want to ask you, Lord, today to help us from a grateful heart to recognize our need of a right relationship with you. And Lord, as your dear child, Lord, I know that you want me to love you with all my heart, even as I would want my children to love me with all of their heart. Lord, I pray, God, today that you'll help us to recognize the difference between traditions of men, religion, and true revival. Help us, Lord, to desire true revival in our hearts today. And Lord, if there be someone listening to the sound of my voice today through the internet or in this class that does not yet know you as their Savior, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to their heart and help them, Lord, to see themselves lost and undone, unworthy of anything from you, and yet realize, God, that you love them and you've paid the debt for their sin, and they would be willing to call upon you and be saved even today. Help us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, our strength, our soul, our mind, our very all. And God, we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, folks, today. Thank you for being here. Let me ask you this, if you would, real quick, too. And I'm not trying to make a big deal of this. But I've got two heart procedures coming up. One of them is Friday. And then one is the following Thursday. And if you would, my plan is to be here next Sunday. But for the following Sunday, I probably will not be here. And, you know, just because of the intensity of that one. But I want you to be praying that you know, God gives the doctors wisdom. This will be the third ablation I've had. And I really want to get it fixed. I'd really like to get it fixed. But just help me pray about that if you would you? And I've listed it as an unspoken on my prayer request thing for many months now. But just help me pray about it. I'm not asking for anything else more from anybody else. But just want to ask you to pray for it, okay? All right? We love you today. Thank you for being in class.